coalition forces and begin striking selected targets of military importance.
It would be a decision which could only be taken once.
There's no argument over the choice between peace and war.
Unconfirmed reports about Gaddafi being captured.
This morning, I want to talk about the future of Europe.
Burning Point.
Hello and welcome to the show with me, Katerina Kudashkina. Ottawa shooting has definitely become the shock of the week. A gunman attacked Canada's parliament on Wednesday, firing several shots near where Prime Minister Stephen Harper was speaking. The PM was safe, but a Canadian soldier at a nearby war memorial was killed. Mr. Harper was quick to link the shooting to Islamic militants. Harper said the attack would prompt Canada to redouble its efforts to fight against terrorist organizations abroad. Canada has recently announced it was joining the anti-ISIS coalition. The CNN quoted U.S. sources as saying the suspect of Wednesday's shootings in Ottawa had connections to jihadists in Canada who shared a radical Islamist ideology, including at least one who went overseas to fight in Syria, end quote. However, why the PM and the media would be so quick in drawing the connection without waiting for the investigation results? We're discussing it with our guest speaker, Julie Levesque, Canadian journalist and researcher at the Center for Research on Globalization.
I think that right now it's really too early to say anything about the motives of the shooters. We don't really know what we're being told by the media. And I think that's important because the media from the beginning, and I have to remind your listeners that the shooting in Ottawa yesterday was actually there was another shooting 2 days before in Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu in Quebec, which is where there's a big military base. One military was killed. He was run over by some guy who we are being told was a radicalized Muslim, someone who had converted to Islam a year ago. And I think, I'm not sure, but I would have to verify that, but the shooter in Ottawa apparently was also a converted Muslim and happens to be also a French-Canadian. I think, like I said, it's too early to tell what the motives were, but the media was very quick to point to radicalization, self-radicalization over the internet, Islamic terrorism. That's what immediately they were saying. So what the effects, the consequences of those two attacks are, is that people are calling for increased security measures. Some people are even calling for restrictions of liberties. You know, they're saying, oh, these people should not have access to the internet. Some people should not have access to Facebook. I was told that there was a sort of Stasi that is kind of being established in Canada right now. Some people are being told by the police that they have to remain vigilant. And that's what the media and the authorities have been saying for the past few months as well, that the Canadian citizens need to remain vigilant and we need to be suspicious of any suspicious activity. Clearly, what they're saying is that you need to be suspicious of Muslims. That's not what they're saying, but that's what it implies because we keep talking about radical Islam and things like that. So I think the effects are that we're seeing increased security measures. There's a fear campaign going on, and we're asking citizens to be suspicious of one another, especially suspicious regarding the Muslim community.
This situation is not exactly typical for Canada. I mean, we are kind of accustomed to random shootings in the U.S., but Canada was different, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. And that's the thing. And what I find suspicious in these whole attacks, and those two attacks, is that for months now, we are being told by the authorities that, oh, there's a very real threat of homegrown terrorism. And we're being told that 2 weeks ago, there was the RCMP, the Canadian, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and the CSIS, the Canadian Security Intelligence Services, were in the Parliament. And they were saying that, yes, we have like 63 inquiries about 90 people that we think might be plotting terrorist attacks. That was 2 weeks ago. And in the summer, there was also a report in the National Post about a study by the intelligence services in Canada where they were saying that they were expecting attacks in Ottawa because it's the place where you have federal institutions, you have a lot of embassies, and they were expecting small-scale attacks lone shooters and things like that. And what we were being told by the RCMP yesterday was that, oh, the attack took them by surprise. Well, I found that very surprising, since they had a study saying that they were expecting that kind of attack. So it's very foggy as we speak. We don't know. You know, it could be a false flag. I'm not saying that's what it is, but it could very well be. In the past, the Canadian Security Services, they were issuing threats against Canadian citizens. They had informants who were involved in the Muslim, they were infiltrated into the Muslim community, and they were issuing threats against Canadian citizens, saying that, yeah, there were going to be terrorist attacks. And these people were, you know, they were working with Canadian Security Services. And I think we have to ask at this moment, who benefits from these attacks? It's not the Muslim community. It's not ISIS or some kind of terrorist organization that's benefiting from this. It's the Canadian government, which is very militaristic. It's right-wing, and their allies in the Middle East. We know that the Canadian government is very pro-Israeli, and I have to say that the number one terrorist right now in Canada is Stephen Harper, because Mr. Harper has no respect whatsoever for international law. Mr. Harper supports Israel. He supports the apartheid regime in Israel, its colonial regime, the illegal occupation. They support a neo-Nazi unelected government in Ukraine. They have bombed with no respect to whatsoever, like I said, in regards to international law, no respect whatsoever for the law. They have been bombing Libya. And we're asking people in the media, we're asking experts, where does ISIS come from? And then some of them will say, well, you know, it's a byproduct of, you know, an illegal occupation in Iraq, you know, that when the Americans left, it created a mess. And yes, the Americans are responsible for that. And they have supported clandestine operations in the Middle East as well. For a long time, they've been supporting that. We've been helping terrorists in Libya. You know, the revolt in Libya, the so-called popular uprising, began in Benghazi. And there was a study in 2007 from the West Point Military Academy in the U.S., which was saying that Benghazi was the haven in the Middle East for terrorists, for jihadists. So, and we ended up helping these people take control of Libya. And what's happening is that, you know, the weapons that were in Libya have been flowing to some terrorist organizations. And we've been helping also the people in the jihadists and terrorists in Syria. We've been helping them for a long time. Like I said, it's mostly the U.S. and their allies in the Middle East. But Canada has been supporting that all along. So, I mean, if there's one person in Canada who should be arrested right now, it's Mr. Harper.
This is Burning Point. We're discussing Ottawa shootings and the global war on terror with our guest speaker Julie Levesque, Canadian journalist and researcher at the Centre for Research on Globalization in Canada. But the weird thing, if we come to look at that over the years, over the past years, is that as soon as the global anti-terrorist campaign was launched, the situation with global terrorism has deteriorated.
Absolutely. And this is what is crazy about this whole situation. It's that we're trying to find out, oh, how can we eradicate terrorism? Well, first of all, if we stopped intervening militarily everywhere in the world, you know, if NATO and the U.S. and their allies stopped intervening everywhere militarily in the world without regards to international law, that would help, you know, because studies have shown, and there's a really interesting study that I would refer your listeners to. It's a research, I'll just read one sentence to you. It's research provides strong evidence that suicide terrorism, such as that of 9/11, is particularly sensitive to foreign military occupation and not Islamic fundamentalism or any ideology. And now we're being told that the reason for these shootings, the shooting in Ottawa and the attack in Saint-Jean, are due to radicalized individuals. And it's due to the Islamic extremism and Islamic terrorism and the fundamentalist ideology. It's not true. The problem that terrorism is, the cause of terrorism is occupation, and the war on terrorism itself has proven to increase terrorism. So, I mean, this is just, we're trying to solve a problem by its cause.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
We shouldn't be
it's
intervening
absurd.
Militarily to stop terrorism, because that's what breeds terrorism. It's completely crazy.
What do we do? Is there anything we could do about that?
Well, I think that, first of all, this coalition that is attacking Iraq and Syria at the moment, the U.S.-led coalition, to which Canada participates, this is illegal. It's illegal. It's an illegal bombing. So that should stop. That should stop. And the first thing we should do is stop supporting terrorism, because that's what's been happening in the past few years. We've been supporting radical jihadists in the Middle East, and now we're complaining that there's organizations like ISIS that are emerging. It makes no sense.
Moreover, when people are saying that ISIS, in fact, emerged as a stronger organization in Iraq, it's not true, because it used to be, it was created in Iraq, but then it moved to Syria. And it was in Syria where it got most of its resources, because the West was arming and supporting those anti-Assad forces indiscriminately.
Absolutely.
And those forces are so different.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the goal of the military intervention right now, so-called against ISIS, it's not against ISIS. The goal is to remove Bashar al-Assad. And even the Saudi prince said so. He said, oh, well, I hope that this is the first step to the removal of Assad. That's clearly the goal. They're not fighting against ISIS. I mean, if we look at the facts, it's they're bombing grain silos and killing civilians and bombing even empty buildings. At the beginning, right at the beginning of the bombings, they were bombing empty buildings. So the ISIS, they had been tipped off. They knew that it was going to be bombed.
We're discussing Ottawa shootings and the global war on terror with our guest speaker, Julie Levesque, Canadian journalist and researcher at the Center for Research on Globalization in Canada.
Burning Point.
And once again, it does resemble the 9/11, because 9/11, willingly or not, it was used as a pretext. So,
absolutely.
But at the time, there was Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, but Al-Qaeda was a creation of the U.S., and they all admitted, yeah, we created Al-Qaeda. Even Hillary Clinton said it, that they created Al-Qaeda. So, I mean, it's a pattern. I mean, if you look at history, how many times did the U.S. use terrorist organizations, death squads? In Latin America, so many death squads were used. If you think of the Contras, for example, in Nicaragua, these people were armed and financed and trained by the U.S. I mean, it's a pattern.
I ran into the national interest story, which actually said that U.S. foreign policy was incompetent, and the two presidents, Mr. Obama and Mr. Bush, were misguided.
No, it's wanted, it's intended to be this way. They want to control the... I mean, if you look at just this document from the Project for a New American Century, where they're saying, oh, to keep its global domination, the U.S. needs to be implicated in multiple theater wars in the Middle East. What is happening right now, it's exactly that. And also, one thing that we have to keep in mind is the Yinon plan for a greater Israel, the goal of which is to destabilize all the opposing Arab countries, such as Iraq. The goal is to destabilize these countries and balkanize the Middle East so that Israel can emerge as the regional dominant country. The U.S. policy in the Middle East and the Canadian policy in the Middle East, it's not misguided, or these people are not stupid, or they would like us to think that we think they're stupid, but it's intended to be this way. It's planned this way.
True.
This is what they want.
But it
they
backfires.
I'm not into that backfiring theory. Yes, and it can. I don't know. Sometimes I think we need to be cautious with these backfiring things. Like, we were told shortly after 9/11 that, oh, Osama bin Laden, yeah, he turned against us. Yes, he was a CIA asset, but he turned against us. And then we learned shortly after that, well, actually, Osama bin Laden was working for the U.S. until the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Like I said, you know, the experts are saying, oh, well, in Iraq, you know, the ISIS came out of bad U.S. policy, an unjustified war in Iraq, you know, that's the result of that. And what they're proposing for an answer to that and to solve the problem is the problem itself. You know, they're suggesting that we go back with the military.
Julie, thank you so much. And just to remind you, our guest speaker was Julie Levesque, Canadian journalist and researcher at the Center for Research on Globalization. Well, and with this, we end this edition of Burning Point, brought to you by me, Ekaterina Kudoshkina. Thank you so much for staying with us. Goodbye, and take care.